there. Stir our heart as we prepare ourselves, Lord, to hear from you. Lord, we pray that we will not go empty-handed from this place. We will be filled with the Spirit, filled with the edification of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Amen.
Amen.
So we are doing from the book of Acts. And last week, you know, we had a guest, so we were not able to do the book of Acts. Anyone wants to just shoot out what was there in Acts 10? Acts 10? 1 week before? Yes? Yeah, Peter meets the centurion. What is the centurion's name? Cornelius, yes, exactly. Who was Cornelius? Who was Cornelius? Sorry? Yes? Yeah, he's a Roman emperor. Okay, so he was a Roman emperor. Peter meets him. And who sees a vision? Both, correct. Peter also sees a vision. And the other side, it's like, you know, in one room, Peter sees a vision. Another room, Cornelius sees a vision. And then Cornelius sends some men to Peter. And then Peter, he says that you come, my emperor is waiting for you. And then he takes Peter and few of his men. And when Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit fills that place and everyone is kind of touched. And, you know, they have been, and then we have been also baptized. So why I wanted to kind of read that, or like, you know, just to kind of recollect that or revise that is, it's a continuation. Half of our, today's chapter, it's also the continuation of Acts chapter 10. So let's read Acts chapter 11. I'll read it. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. Okay, so what happened in Cornelius? He was a Gentile, he was a non-Jew. So the apostles and believers who were there in Jerusalem, they heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Okay? Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. So we will repeat that, what was happened in chapter 10. And Peter talks about this. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times. Then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and as he had come on us at the beginning, then I remembered that what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objection and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." The church in Antioch Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up through the Spirit, predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. So when we read this, you know, half of the story was from the book chapter 10, Acts chapter 10. And then we see how Saul and Barnabas, you know, started something, or like the people who gathered there, the church was called as Antioch. And, you know, Barnabas goes to Saul, who is called as Paul, and he brings him, and they both serve in that place. Okay? So the context of this story of Peter's dream and the entire thing is the covenant which also God made to Abraham. You know, he says in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. All of the families of the earth will be blessed in you. So all of the families. So not only the Jews, but also it was the Gentiles as well. Even in the very beginning, God's promise was not only for Jews, but all to the families of the earth. And we see it, you know, there are many verses in the Old Testament which talks about this, that it is not only for Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles as well. In Psalm 22, verse 27, it says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. So we see this plan, you know, it's always there, even in the Old Testament, to include non-Jews as well. Okay, that was for all. Here it says, you know, for all nations, all the families of the nations will bow down before Him. All the families of the nations will bow down. Not only Israel, and even all the nations, okay, will bow down before Him. In Malachi 1:11 it says, my name will be great among the nations. From there the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So the plan of salvation, the plan for, you know, even inclusive of the entire Gentile community, we also see that in Old Testament. I just pointed out 3 verses, but there are many, you know, if we can refer. In Daniel verse 7, 13 to 14, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So throughout the Old Testament, Testament as well, we see this theme running of inclusive or including the non-Jew, that is Gentiles. You know, we look at ourselves, we call ourselves, yes, we are also kind of inherited in that. Because that promise was always there that every nation, every tongue, every knee will call out to the name of Jesus and they will be saved. Okay, so now coming to this chapter. Okay, so we see that it was all kind of, you know, Peter looking at some dream, and it's bringing a big conflict between the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem was purely of all Jews. Okay, it was a big vibrant community. All Jews, all who have been following the Lord for years. Even the Greeks who were also part of Jews, like, you know, Hellenistic Jews. So they were all Jews. A church in Jerusalem was very vibrant. And there this news comes up to them saying that Peter went to someone's place where he was not supposed to go. And not only that, he took few of his people also. And they had fellowship, they ate, and they prayed, they talked about. And this reaches to the church in Jerusalem, where the apostles, the great people who are there, the pioneers, they're always sitting there. And there are a lot, all of, like, you know, being circumcised and been following the law and the Jewish tradition. And they hear this news that, Peter has gone to this place. And we see that, like, you know, there was a great revival. And we, even before that, you know, like Acts chapter 2 talks about this. Peter himself, you know, talked about this or preached to this entire revival, the day of Pentecost, you know, when the Holy Spirit filled, and then Peter stood up and he preached this. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all my people. So, you know, it was not supposed to be a vision which needed Peter to transform his thoughts, but, you know, he is referring from the book of Joel. And he talks about this. In the last day, God's last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men and dream will dream dreams. And everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. So even before this, Peter already preached about this concept that it is not only Jews. But, you know, we don't understand that, like, you know, when he was preaching, maybe, like, you know, he had not heard himself, the Spirit of God moving him to speak during the day of Pentecost. Now, we all know this kind of, the story which we read in Acts 10. And in Acts 11, when we read this, you know, this entire book, we see a transition which is going to happen, okay? A transition from Peter to Paul. Okay? There will be a transition which will happen from Apostle, you know, from Saint Peter, the great man, one of the disciples, from him, it is going to pass on to Paul. And we also see that the Jewish church, or only the Jewish church which was formed, will be transformed into a Jewish and a Gentile church. So there's a transition which is going to happen in chapter 11, where Peter is going to pass it on to Paul, or, like, there's a transition. The focus from Peter will be moved to Saul, Paul. And also we will see a Jewish church being transit. There is a transition happen which became a Jewish and a Gentile church. So we see all this in one chapter, you know, where the transition is going to take place. And we see, and, you know, we hear only Peter after this in Acts chapter 15. And afterwards, you know, it's all about Paul. So there's a transition. And then Paul takes this baton about Gentiles from Peter, and he takes it across the globe. So let's read from the book. You know, let's come to this book, Acts chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Okay, first three verses, and then Peter's experience, which he shares, which he saw, you know, where he went to his house, that we already know in Acts chapter 10. So let's take this first three verses. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Okay, so this is, you know, Peter, what he is doing is like, you know, he is going back to the church in Jerusalem. Okay, after this Cornelius meets a meeting and all, so he's going to meet these people who are the apostles, and there are also believers in the church, so he's going to kind of meet them. So the charge was, you went into an uncircumcised man and ate with them. Okay, so there are two offenses being made here for Peter, okay, on Peter. The first offense was going to an uncircumcised man's place. The second offense was eating with uncircumcised men. So according to the Jewish community or the traditions, that they were not supposed to even acknowledge or greet someone who is a non-Jew. And Peter makes this offense, or that's the reason if you read, even Peter talks about this, right? Peter says in, you know, chapter 10, I'll read this. Even Peter goes to his house, he talks about this. He says, "You yourself know that it is unlawful thing for a man who is a Jew to join himself or come to one of another nation." So Peter himself bringing, you know, when he goes to Cornelius, he puts this question, or like puts this thing forward to him. He says that, "You also know that I was not supposed to come here, but I came here because it is unlawful for us to relate to anyone who is a non-Jew or who is a Gentile." So Peter committed that first offense. And the second offense was, he was eating with uncircumcised men. So the Jewish culture and tradition had a lot of restrictions over what to eat, how to eat, what not to eat, how to purify yourself before you eat. And the Gentiles had never had this restriction. So they will bring, okay, what you have at home, so they will have it. So they never had any restrictions. So they followed some traditions, some culture, which Moses also talks about. And they followed it for years. And according to them, it was unlawful. Okay, so the charge was made on Peter. And few of his men, he also took them. Okay, so took them in Jerusalem. And this was this two charges. He said, one, you went with them. And another offense is like you ate with them. There was a third offense which he created. Anyone wants to just shoot out what happened in Cornelius' house? He went inside, he ate with them. He went with them, he also ate with them. There's also something happened. There's a big charge. There's supposed to be a big charge. Baptism. Correct. There's another thing which came up was baptism. That was even without, you know, this eating and drinking and going, that is fine. But baptism. But if you look at it, they don't ask about him about baptism. It's very strange. He was not charged that like you baptized someone who did not knew God, or like, you know, they were not supposed to be baptized. It was only for Jews. No, like, you know, so there's something greater thing happened, but like we don't know like why that was not put forward. Okay, so from all this, you know, then Peter talks about his story about how God moved and how things changed, how he was transformed. So Peter stands in that place fully convinced and convicted on about his experiences. So look at the life of Peter. For so many years he was with Jesus, and he was one of his disciples. And over the period of years, he is also a strong Jew. He's following all the traditions, all the laws, eating, non-eating. And one day, a vision just impacts him. And he has to be first fully convinced. And then only he can go out. And he stands there fully convinced what he has done. So this morning, I felt God has kept few things for us. You know, it is basically the heading is something else. Okay, so don't look at the heading. Philip shared with Jesus in Samaria. Yeah, so what actually it is in Acts chapter 11, when we read this, you know, God is moving radically. So Peter's expectation was something different. The people's expectation was something different. They wanted God to work in this way. They wanted this culture and law and tradition to be followed. But God was moving very supernaturally, very radically. We see it. You know, we see that Cornelius saw a vision and Peter also saw a vision. So God was working and moving radically, which happened through the Holy Spirit. which happened through the transformation of people like Cornelius and Peter. So we see that God was moving radically in the book of Acts chapter 11. The second one was, there was an invitation. You know, Peter's invitation, Cornelius invited Peter, that changed the life of Cornelius. Basically, Cornelius invited Peter, you come, and that changed the life of Peter. So we know that Peter went to his house, and that changed everything. So I believe this morning, you know, it's an invitation which God also giving us, or like God is asking us also to invite people. So unless and you just think about it, Peter may have just said, no, I can't come. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to eat this. I'm not supposed to do this. You know, I have certain restrictions. My family has certain restrictions. You should think about it. What may have happened to Cornelius? And forget about Cornelius, what may have happened to us? You know, the gospel reached. That was the first transformation where the entire church accepted and said, yes, Gentiles were also part of it. That was you and me. So an invitation changed a person's life. Just an invitation changed a person's life. So God is moving radically. And the second question which I felt this morning God wanted all of us, like, who are we inviting? And do we have any restrictions that this person, that person, you know, only this culture? But Peter moved ahead because he knew that it was God who was moving radically. So when is the last time we invited someone? Invited in our house. Invited just to meet for a catch-up. We need to meet and invite others. You know, those conversations, if we have been prayerfully backed up, we see transformation. And we are the one who is going to invite and meet like people like Cornelius. So this morning, you know, God asking us to invite our friends, invite our people, invite people whom we know, irrespective of their background, irrespective of the way they have been brought up. Peter moved with that invitation, and we see the life of Cornelius was transformed. The third thing was changed mindset. Okay? As I said, Peter was following for years the tradition of Jews, whether it was relating to others or about eating. But when he saw a vision, his perspective changed. God, you know, like it says, three times it was again and again came to Peter. And Peter got fully convinced. And then we see that conviction changed Cornelius. So we need to change our mindset as well. You know, many times, we see that Peter went to Peter stood in front of the church in Jerusalem, but we look at like Peter was not arguing with them. He was not fighting with them. He just told his story because he was fully convinced. He knew that like this mindset change need to happen over our people, and he was fully convinced that it was from God. It was not himself, not like something which he invented, but he was fully convinced. Change mindset. Maybe this morning God is asking us that, you know, whether we will change our mindset, change the perspective, change the way we look at things. You know, there can be many barriers for this change to happen. One of the barriers is not willing to change. You know, when we know that, okay, this can help, or this if we do, this person, we can bring that person in Christ. And Peter took that decision, just following the Holy Spirit and going to the house of Cornelius. And that changed. Maybe this morning, we are willing, or if we, God wants that we need to be willing to change our mindset and perspective and to open to change and, you know, open to receive as well. The final one is like our personal stories. So Peter stood there. He did not talk about theology. He did not talk about Moses' law. He talked about his story, his journey, his life. He said, this is what happened day one. This is what happened in the day two. This is what happened there. I spoke to him. He called me. So it was all life journey. If we go for debate or if you want to argue on someone, we will never win. It is always stories can change the person's life. You know, many times, you know, we kind of don't even tend to share our stories supernatural stories to our children, because we feel that they will think that, you know, this is a fairy tale, or this may not happen. He's just building it up. But I believe God is asking us to, you know, implement that, invest that in the lives of our children, our personal stories. Not argument, not debate, but personal stories can make a big change in the lives of others. So this morning, God is moving radically in our lives, in our community, among us, in our family. There's an invitation for us, and we also need to invite others in the kingdom of God. We need to change our mindset the way, you know, Peter had to change, let go for so many years culture and barrier, and he has to say, yes, I'm ready to eat all this, because God is saying that. He was willing to change and receive. And fourth is, our personal stories can make a huge impact. Not debate, not argument, it will not lead us to anywhere when we were talking to our friends or anyone, but it is just our small stories can impact anyone. So in verse 18, it says that when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So the entire community accepted, you know, Peter's sharing, not debate, not theological standing, but his sharing. He said, we agree with it. And they said this, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Amen? So many times, when we allow God to move, and it was God who